Everybody, I have Justin Franson here, and I'm super, super amped to talk to him. Last night, I actually was like, okay, I'm recording with Justin. I might as well start flipping through his book right here, Athleticism. And so I picked up this book at 6 o'clock, and I turned to the first page, and I actually didn't leave my seat for 2.5 hours. I read it straight through from cover to cover. When I was just I was super busy. I had a lot of other stuff to do. I was like, okay, I have to skim through his book. And so I was just planning on skimming through it. And I read the whole thing. I was completely enthralled in it. You and I have overlapping viewpoints in fitness. And so I say this just to introduce everybody to Justin. He's written this book, Athleticism. He's trained professional athletes for decades. He's the owner, founder of many different companies and products, EMF Rocks being one of them, which we're definitely going to get into today. But welcome, Justin. How you doing?
Raw, so good to connect with you online.
Yeah. Yeah, we were actually in Laguna Beach off your neighborhood in the ocean a couple weeks ago, and we went swimming in the wintertime. And I got a little bit of hypothermia. But that was an interesting experience because it humbled me a little bit. And so we did do some talking then, but I was completely like in some bizarre zone in my head. So I'm excited to talk like in a more sober state right now.
Yeah, definitely. No, that was, it's big when you're, I'm a big free diver. So we're out in the elements all the time. And if you're not used to it, or I think you got more seasick than hypothermic, yeah, I mean, we're out there for about a half hour, and it's 57 degrees in the ocean, and we're in open water, so that's no joke.
So it was a little bit like that movie on Netflix, My Octopus Teacher, if anybody's seen that, with the guy that goes underwater, and he's in these kelp beds on the other side of the earth. But Justin took me out in Laguna Beach where there are some kelp beds, and you guys have a dive group, right? Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on with what you guys are doing? Because you're doing good things for the ocean.
Yeah, so we live in North Laguna, and our neighborhood has a dive club, and it's called Rancho La Bolsa Dive Club. It's named after the point that we dive and pull lead out of the ocean that the fishermen have left over. It's their sinkers that they left from all the decades of fishing in that area. And I mean, we've had tons and tons of lead that we pulled out. And I pulled another 3 pieces out yesterday amidst the storm. And it's unbelievable. You can spot that stuff at the bottom of the ocean. So we're literally cleaning all the garbage out. We're inspiring people when they go on vacations to go dive and pull lead out of the water. And I think it's a lot of the challenges where the fish and the seafood that we're eating is from a lot of the remnants that we've left in the different coves. So we're just helping out. It's beautiful. It's a sanctuary. I know as we get into the EMF talk, Ra, we're going to want to go over the frequencies and the sounds that you can hear underwater. And just a few days before you came out, I dove with the dolphins in the cove, and their sounds or frequencies, the communication underwater, you could hear it so clearly, but we don't necessarily hear these stressors on land, so of the non-native waveform. So I know we'll get a little bit into that as well, but it's a fun group, and invite you back when you're ready.
So just, you brought up something. So are you saying that the leftover lead could potentially be breaking down and poisoning the fish that people are eating? Is that what you're alluding to?
Yes. Yes. That's what we feel. So we feel our cove's really healthy. It's one of the healthier coves in all of Laguna. And it's just from the last several years, I think it's about 3 years, we've had the dive club. I've lived in there over two years now. So it's that many years of pulling the toxins out, we have literally one of the healthiest kelp beds around. And this is from just full on experts that have come in to check out the ecosystem and dive with us that are saying that. So it's really exciting what we're doing and what we're sharing other people to do. My friend John Rose, he started Waves for Water. He's a former professional surfer. He was the face of Quicksilver. He was so good looking. They had him on as a face and for years. And when he ended his career as a model for Quicksilver, really, he started to travel and he brought clean water and filters to areas that didn't have it. And so for us, it's really a similar mission. When you're traveling and you're out in the water, go do something good while you're out there.
Yeah. And when I was out there, somebody brought like a huge, I don't remember if it was a net, but it was definitely a rope. That's all made of plastic. Yeah. And that's what's polluting the ocean is those plastic fishermen nets and, you know, not necessarily, well, there's bits of plastic from everything, but those things are completely polluting the ocean and getting into the food supply, essentially. So in this book, this book is called Athleticism, Whole Body, Whole Brain Equals Performance. And I really loved it because you immediately start going outside of the box, like literally like going from linear training to figure eight patterns and even having to do with ambidextrous, like being equivalent on both sides of the body, and balance and even mind stuff. So something that stuck out to me, because I used to do this stuff when I trained. I was basically a professional athlete. I was winning competitions for money. And my favorite thing was doing things like learning to unicycle and play a musical instrument and having conversations with people. And you were talking about being on a BOSU ball, juggling and doing math equations as a way to train an athlete. And I mean, I just loved it. I was like, this is like speaking my language. So how long ago did you start training people this way? It's been decades, right?
Yeah, so we're in our 27th year of athleticism, starting athleticism.com. Started at a Scripps clinic in La Jolla. My mentor was Dean Brittenham, who was a legendary speed track and field coach from Nebraska Cornhuskers. He made their football team in the powerhouse they were years ago. Then he got hired as a strength coach in the NBA and NFL, and actually worked with MLB as well. And Scripps Orthopedics brought him to Shiley Pavilion Scripps Clinic. And so I found him at the tail end of his career, and it was riveting. I mean, there was literally no one doing what he was doing. No one looking at an athlete at that way at that time. And he would see a track athlete run and he'd say, okay, well, they have to fire equally on each side. This side's a little inhibited. So we would bring in primal reflex techniques to release the pain in that area. We brought in active isolated stretching, Aaron Mattis method. We started just to do, he was teaching people to juggle. Michael Gelb was huge into Leonardo da Vinci and how he's a whole brain performer. So he brought those methods in, and he's a prolific author as well. And he Dean taught us how to juggle, and then we would do stuff in semicircles, nonlinear motions. It was just the most unique program. When I saw it, I'm like, this is what I have to do. This is my calling. And I went from a tennis player that wanted to play at SC and got hurt. I injured both my wrists from lifting too hard. They got out of alignment, and I kept playing 4 hours a day, and it just blew out all the cartilage and ligaments in that and both my wrists. So I couldn't pick up a racket anymore. So I transitioned into playing basketball for the next 25 years. At high level, and I learned how to be a one-dimensional. I think tennis is more of a one-dimensional sport. You're on the concrete. You're not jumping that often compared to volleyball or basketball per se. So I taught myself how to jump through this program and dunk, and I became a really good at dunking a basketball when when I was I felt a one-dimensional athlete. So it was just super profound as a program, and we were able to help, you know, just endless teams and professional athletes throughout this time frame, and it still continues.
What do you think is the most important thing for somebody to work on as an athlete that isn't common, right? So when you think about athletic training, you're thinking about getting in the gym, doing squats and deadlifts, but in this book and in your philosophy, there's a whole bunch of other things. And so I guess, where would you start? What could a normal person do to improve their athleticism besides just simply being in the gym and doing those reps?
And I am from the philosophy that there's not just one thing that'll make you essentially better. It takes an entire holistic, comprehensive approach. If you were to say, if what would be one thing, I would say stand on a BOSU ball and have better balance. And because if you're off balance, you can't do anything. So that might be one of the first ones I would say. Now knowing Gary Lineham and Human Garage, I would probably lean in and say start doing fascial maneuvers. And that will help with the pressure system in your body, having more strength and power and resiliency. So you're going to have a better performance and you're going to improve your energy and your stamina and reduce the risk of injuries. And even the body movements, I would say do some speed drills, coordination drills, and do when you move in semicircles. And we have rhythms, intensities, coordinations that we do. So you're working both sides equally. You're doing it in all directions. You're literally running, skipping, jumping, bounding, shuffling, changing directions. Laterally, forwards, backwards, and in those semicircles, which in turn into figure eights when you're in a, you know, group-like setting. And then the last part, I would say maybe lean in on becoming ambidextrous and start to use both sides of your body, both feet, both hands. Really incorporate the eye-hand coordination, and do juggling and get into these rhythms that get you into the infinite flow of the universe. And probably the last thing I would say is start to do some breath work, and you could get it through the fascia techniques, but that'll help with the brain entrainment to get you more in that alpha brainwave state for optimal performance. So if I were to go through my list of the top ones for performance, I think those would all be mentioned in it.
Amazing. And I like the little sprinkle of infinite flow of the universe. It's like there's a invitation, there's a gateway for people to go and find what he means by that. One last question on this topic before we move on. Could we talk a little bit about concussions? So, for instance, I've had many of them. I played hockey for 20 years, and I was the fighter. But actually, a lot of my concussions came from outside of hockey. But my lifestyle was just dangerous and risky. That's just my typical, you know, male bravado lifestyle. But for somebody who's, because a lot of the CTE injuries and concussions, they start showing up later on in life. Right. So first question is, what symptoms do you recognize as being as a result of concussions, and what alleviates those symptoms?
The demographic, like yourself, like we're athletes that just get a knock. And what I feel happens is the neural pathways don't connect to their endpoints. So the nerves that are firing these muscles, they call them myotomes, they don't know where the end point is. And then with a concussion, what happens is you essentially lose your longitude, latitude, spatial awareness. So from that, you see just memory challenges, dizziness, people will vomit, they have headaches, they're light sensitive. Yeah, there's a list of the typical concussion symptoms, and memory's a challenge, and bringing, you know, thoughts to your mind right away. So those are all things that people will see with an injury. What I've seen is I'll typically see someone that is 3 weeks into it and they're not getting any better. They're just like, oh, I got knocked. Oh, I got a soccer ball to the back of the head. And they're, you know, 13, 14-year-old female athlete, and they can't do homework. They can't go out. They have headaches, and they can't focus, all that stuff. And it's just getting worse. It doesn't get better day after day after day. It just actually gets worse. And so then we'll come in, and what we do is I use light therapy and I do applied kinesiology. So I do a variety of different techniques, but I basically upregulate that nervous system and allow it to reconnect. So I use light, I recenter their center line and get their horizon level. And that's a huge part. So right out of the gate, when you can level someone's horizon and teach them what's level again and what's center again, now they know where they're in space, and now they can start to heal. And I feel it's primary to everything, is to really reconnect those pathways. And from there, yeah, I feel obviously chiropractic is great. I feel the fascia maneuvers are phenomenal. The other part that I use is I use essential oils to upregulate the olfactory nerve, is one of the most primary nerve of the body. And I'll put, my wife has an essential oil line called Campo Beauty, CampoBeauty.com. And so I'll put her crown on the occiput. So we'll put it on the occiput and or temples or wherever the pulse points are and wherever the injury was. But the frequency of those plants, that plant medicine, will start to nourish those areas and give them the oils that they need to lubricate it. We'll reset the olfactory nerve. And then I also have found that the EMFs are really challenging. An NCAA protocol, Raw, for concussions is no screen time. So they've acknowledged that the blue light is disruptive to the blood-brain barrier healing when it's been injured. But there's more to that story. There's more. It's the wireless signals, these non-native EMFs, and that are disruptive. And so for athletes that are looking to heal from it, you know, my computer, believe it or not, but it's hardwired into the router, which is, you know, far away. But I'm hardwired, so I don't have any millimeter waves in my immediate environment right here. So I've done everything to lower the speed of the polarizing one directional waveform in my area. So, it's not as a stressor on the body. And so I encourage athletes that have concussions that are healing from it to lower the resonance of a stressor in your environment, because the blood-brain barrier doesn't heal as quickly when it's inundated through stressors in the environment. So we use our grounding bags to recharge the eye. So the eyes, the teeth, the thymus, and your intestine area are the four primary areas that get decharged. So when we can grab a grounding bag, hold it, tap on it with one hand, and cover your eyes with the other hand, that's going to recharge that area. So I know you're obviously the master at grounding as well, but it's tough to heal when you're decharged. And when probably one of the weak links of the body, that four EMF, and I just mentioned the four, are the eyes. If those are decharged, it's really tough to heal a concussion as well. So we throw in that protocol as well.
I'm glad you brought up EMF, because that's where we're going to transition to. What do you mean? And I have tons of questions.
Bring them.
In regards to everything that you're saying, what do you mean by decharged?
Our body. We have Eileen McCusick will talk about our body acting like a body battery. She wrote a book called Electric Body, Electric Health. She has a sound tuning fork healing system, which I love as well. It's one of my favorite systems out there. Are you familiar with it, Ra?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think there was somebody called Tuning the Biofield. I don't think it's
the same author.
Yeah. It is? Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought I sounded a little familiar.
Yeah. So Eileen McKeeson.
Okay, but I haven't. Okay.
Yeah. You haven't jumped
That's
into
as familiar
it.
as I, right. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So decharge, go ahead.
Body battery. So you get a negative charge from the earth and we pull in the electrons. You get a positive charge from the unpolarized light of the sun. We breathe in minerals from the different environments, and then hopefully we get it from our food. That's what we're working on these days. And that's where Perium will come in to play. And then we get hopefully some more from the water, and then also the conductivity of it all from the water. If we're missing any one of those components, an area will lose its polarity. And if it loses its polarity, you'll see, let's say the eyes lose it. You'll see signs of fatigue, afternoon fatigue, little stress in it, that those tired eyes or maybe stinginess in there. And it's a combination of you're being dehydrated, but it's also, it lost its polarity. And so it doesn't have that body battery fully charged, and it doesn't have that charge that we're supposed to have in our body.
Similar to the fourth phase of water, the waters within your body are polarized, negative and positive, and you're essentially saying that's all getting muddied and bogged down so that the electrolytes and the charge that's going through your body isn't happening. It's not being facilitated. And so that's happening with EMF. And EMF is coming off of everything. Right, it's not just our cell phones. It's radio waves that are coming in. You said the word non-native. By non-native, you're talking about like non-native to nature, correct?
For the audience, and kind of clarify some physics components of how we're one with nature and designed to be one with her and her resonance and our. I always ask people, say, okay, hey, what is our environment? That's a loaded question, right? And what I answer it is, it's literally everything around you, and it can kill you instantly or it could allow you to thrive. Now, to get more specific with it, I'm going to talk about our air, which is our atmosphere, which is ether or plasma. And these waves and particles travel through that. So that's how we're able to communicate. Now, in the book, The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, he talks about the history of life and electricity. And before 1889, when there were a lot of people that got sick across the world at the same time frame with the same symptoms, they were attributed to time frames where there were solar shifts and solar flares and cosmic shifts in the atmosphere. Those are native shifts. Ever since we introduced electricity, the non-native shifts would be from one-directional waveforms. And he says the flu was here to stay once we put electricity in the homes in 1889, and then radio waves, satellites, radar, and then 5G. The last several years, there's been, you know, times where a lot of disease happened during those phases. Now, to go back one step further, we're made with the universe off of scalar waves. That's the framework for every waveform of our entire planet. And these scalar waves, even if it's a cosmic pressure shift, our REM patterns will be disrupted and people will adapt and get sick. And you'll see those same, you know, upper respiratory challenges that we saw with the COVID stuff. And it's really interesting because it's a pressure shift, you know, in the environment. And then to the contrary, all these non-native waveforms, the man-made ones, Raw, those are one-directional waveforms, or they don't work. So just the fundamental difference of how we're made off of scalar waves, how we've shown that we adapt naturally through time and then unnaturally through time. And because we know when we drop a pebble into a pond, the resonance goes out in every direction. It's not a straight line. So why is that? It's a scalar wave. It's a framework for every waveform. So we start to understand the fundamental physics and difference of a one-directional waveform compared to a scalar wave, which we're one with the universe with.
And so scalar waves aren't just like a wave. If you imagine a wave drawn on a piece of paper, they're just going in one direction. So could you explain like what a scalar wave is compared to when people think of a wave, they're thinking of like this one directional wave. How is a scalar wave different?
Examples for it. So the sun is not a laser dot. It's not a one directional beam. Okay. That would be a man-made radar, laser frequency, a millimeter wave. When we're grounding and we're outside in nature, Raw, we're not in it in this spot. And then we step one foot over the right and we're out of it. The Schumann resonance, that healing pulse of the earth, is a resonance that's covers the entire, planet. And we're always feeling that resonance. Same as our bioresonance of our body. It doesn't go out of my right ear in a straight line and stay 6 feet to 8 feet away from Justin's right ear. No, it goes out. Our biofield, our bioresonance goes out about 6 to 8 feet in every direction. And so that's a scalar wave. Those are waveforms. So every living organism has a frequency, and it's based on an unpolarized wave that distributes equally in every direction. When we're out in nature, we're one with nature's resonances and the physics and the laws of nature, and we're taking in all that nutrients because our bodies are able to communicate with it. And when we start to introduce non-native waves that are 10 zeros faster of a polarizing charge than the Schumann resonance and the healing pulse of the earth, it's really disruptive to, Bruce Lipton will say, first our biofield, and then chemistry of our body changes. So when we chip away at our chi, it directly affects the chemistry of our body. And that's straight from Bruce Lipton and Berlando Alphavetic. He'll say the same thing. He has these waveform tests. He has dual impedance antennas. Any distortion in your chi, he can directly tell you what's wrong with you. And it's better than blood. It's like it's a more accurate reading for him than reading blood. Your chi is indicative of your health. So when we start to flip this understanding of we're just this body and we're just, here and that's it. And we're just disconnected and we're bigger than the earth. We're bigger than everything else, and kind of get rid of those egos. We'll start to understand the physics of how we're one with the earth. I feel a lot of people will start to see what the stressors are and will be able to heal and know that there's nothing to fear, and we'll be able to have a lot more vitality.
Mm-hmm. So grounding is essentially becoming one with that field of nature, because we are nature, essentially.
Exactly.
And so you have EMF rocks, right? Tell us a little bit about that, because I know the first time I heard about them, which was a long time ago, like 6 or 7 years ago. And like I told you, I had a little bag that I was carrying around in my pocket, and I still do. But what do these bags of rocks do? How do they keep you grounded? Because I assumed that the only way to ground was to have your feet on the earth or some sort of grounding pad that's connected to the earth. But these are like wireless bags that somehow keep you grounded.
Everyone looks to nature to get grounded, right, Ra?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did we. So that was the thing. When I was looking for EMF protection, what I saw over a decade ago is our athletes breaking down from wearable technology. I'm like, I gotta look to nature and find her resonance to bring in our field. And so it's turned into this crazy journey of understanding the physics, the components, our interplay between us and our environment, how different these non-native forms are. And then it's gone into, you know, all these other topics, which I'm sure we're going to do, is privacy, body sovereignty, and security, all the data harvesting, like all this stuff. So it's been this crazy, journey of technology and understanding how we're one with it to help facilitate performance. And the Schumann resonance of the Earth is 7.83 hertz or waves per second. I'm gonna break down these waves per second so everyone can understand this, because when we could get this, we'll start to understand what essentially a bag of rocks will do for you and how powerful they are for you and why they're sold through doctor clinics all around the country to help with electromagnetic radiation protection. The Schumann resonance, that's the healing pulse of the Earth, okay? When we're out into it, we're just getting our body battery recharged, like we said. Now, when our athletes, when you are in the flow state, raw, and you're winning competitions, your brainwave state was about 8 to 13 hertz or waves per second. So you are in an alpha brainwave state. Schumann resonance is about 8. You are 8 to 13. When we're sleeping, we should be in a delta or theta brainwave state where 1 or below 1 to 8 hertz or waves per second. And that's when you're having those lucid dreams, your hormones are getting replenished, you get into pineal gland, starts to, you know, it's not getting calcified from EMF and disrupting your melatonin, your endocrine system, and so your hormones are being replenished. All that stuff happens when your brainwave state's 1 or below 1 to 8. And then when we're in the flow state with the universe, competition, we're 8 to 13. And then all that is really similar to that Schumann resonance of 7.83 hertz. So the difference between that and a cell phone, the cell phones are 2.45 billion waves per second. 2.45. That's the lowest level of a one-directional waveform that starts to destructure water. Now, 5G is 60 to 90 billion waves per second of a polarizing one-directional waveform. So there's a 10-0 difference in a speed of a one-directional waveform from how we rev and how we're one with the universe compared to what we're literally inundating ourselves with. And we've been blasted just, at record levels. So what we did with the grounding bags is I looked to take her resonance of that Schumann resonance and put it in a bag, and that's what we did. And the grounding bags are literally that resonance. They have moisture with the magnetic properties. So if you're to look at the crystals, they're going to be beautiful pink crystals inside here. And they have moisture and magnetic properties. Shungite, amethyst, black tourmaline, all the other known crystals that have magnetic properties, they don't have the moisture content with them. And the moisture content is everything for allowing the crystals to be exponentially stronger for EMF protection. So we deploy it in a grounding bag. So this is a grounding bag that you have on your bed, and that you can use it as a self-home care protocol to recharge your body battery. You can carry the mini grounding bag with you and for on-the-go protection. So you have one that's for a pocket purse or backpack for on-the-go protection, and then you have one for your home that you'll sleep up to 60% better just by having it on your bed. So that's kind of the backstory behind why they work, because you're bringing the Earth's resonance into your home to create a coherence with these one-directional waveforms we're just living in these electrical boxes. We call them homes, but they're full of electricity, And it's so different than our resonance of our bodies, and our bodies don't know what to do with them. So we go into a twilight sleep and our brain tries to figure out what's pinging it all night long at, you know, billions of waves per second when we're supposed to be at 1 to 8. So we don't get into those deep restorative sleep. So that's why you gotta get the resonance of your home as low and slow, as close to nature, turn the stuff off, but then bring in the grounding bags to lessen that vibration that affects us.
And is there studies, is there science on this? How do we know that it's working as like somebody listening to this?
Let's test. Do you know Dr. Bear Lando, alphavedic.com?
No.
So I'm going to...
But I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I'm going to get you guys connected. He'll have you on his podcast. And they have a huge alpha cast, huge podcast, but he's probably one of the most brilliant guys on the planet, period. He has these dual impedance antennas and they measure your chi and any distortion in your chi. And the grounding bags clinically passively treated up to 91% of the markers that were off from EMF toxicity. That's massive, Ra. He had never, ever seen an EMF product get close to 50%. And so ours were 91%. And the lowest person was 67%, and her thymus was decharged. So these are passive tests that he did. But if she would have grabbed the grounding bag and tapped on it over her thymus, which is your upper chest, I have a feeling she'd have been off the charts because she was the youngest. And the guy that had the 97, he was old. He was in his 70s. So it just shows you that when you create that coherence in your environment, our chemistry of our body really responds. Dr. Rodney White out of Nebraska University did a sleep test for 3 months. Most tests, they do it one day, if that. And he did a 3-month sleep test. He was really affected by EMF. He's been affected by EMF his whole life. He's been trying to figure it out forever, doing all the tests and wearing those sleep trackers and testing. His deep sleep was at 45 minutes, basically his whole life, like literally. And now, since he brought the grounding bags, it went to 100 minutes. So that's over 60% improvement for 3 months straight. And so we've had, you know, a lot of doctors doing tests. I've done pH tests as well. Your pH will normalize. And as Gary Lineham will say, there's silica in the grounding bags because it's that healing pulse of the earth. And that helps rehydrate, you know, our bodies. We get that frequency of it and it helps create a coherence. And so I think that's why we do so well with them in so many ways, is because it's the composition of the earth, which is the composition of us and our biofield, like creating that coherence between us and all of it.
Right. And from a spiritual standpoint, I mean, you're mentioning pineal gland and dreaming, but also connecting to whatever's beyond this physical reality is less distracted and less foggy if we're within the resonance of nature.
Totally.
That's essentially our signal. And you mentioned that maybe there's an agenda. You didn't really mention it, but what I heard is there's possibly an agenda to disrupt that connection. And that's why the people in controls of the cities just set up these towers that emanate these frequencies that are super disruptive to us. And that's how I've become so obsessed with all that is nature, primarily light, earthing, water, air, and then ether, which you did mention, because this is our nature. This is what our power relies on. And this is the origin of our entire existence. And we, you know, last night, Caro, my wife, she even was like, I've been lucid dreaming. Like a lot, like I'm lucid dreaming every single night. And we've been sleeping with one of your EMF bags or EMF. Yeah. Is that what they're called? EMF rocks, EMF rock bags.
Grounding bag.
For like 3 weeks. And, And I've been dreaming more dynamically than normal as well. And that all is dependent on our pineal gland working. It's dependent on us getting into that deep REM restful state. And it's amazing because that's what makes us human.
Yeah, it's so true.
How long?
Yeah, real quick, let me jump in on this one. Dr. Darren Weissman, he started a system called the Lifeline Technique. Are you familiar with it?
From your book right here.
Yeah. So he talks about infinite love and gratitude. This is a sign language for I love you. And we say infinite love and gratitude because the universe is infinite. And so in his flow chart, it's crazy. And this is where I put all the dots together. And he was even blown away by it when I recognized it for him. But he has a whole part. He goes into the mind, body, spirit. And when the spirit's disrupted, it's either particles or waves or particles. And then you give infinite love and gratitude, correct that. Then the next step underneath that, guess what? It's REM patterns that are disruptive from these waveforms. So when there's a cosmic shift, it messes with our spirit, which messes with our REM patterns and through waves and particles. And so it's a crazy cycle. So then you have to recorrect whatever the REM pattern is, give it infinite love and gratitude, and then they muscle test strong. And now you've released that emotional holding pattern or that area that is disruptive. So these are just the reasons that we acknowledge scientifically that are disrupting us from getting into those deep lucid dreams. So the grounding bags, kind of what I alluded to before, allow us to get our brainwave into those lower and slower states because they're not being inundated. So raw, it's like someone's tapping you on your shoulder all night long with smart meters and neighboring signals and satellites and what have you, Wi-Fi on, smart devices on in your house. Your brain goes into what is that pinging it? Because they call them smart devices because they're always on, they're always broadcasting, they're always receiving. They're looking for you to communicate with it. And that's how our brain is. Our brain, our bodies are capacitors. Literally, we're absorbing all this stuff and taking in that information like a sponge per se. So, and we store a lot of the crap in our biofield. And it can be disruptive to us. And even those frequencies will make it all the way in when we're sleeping. And so if you can get that person to stop tapping you on your shoulder all night long when you're sleeping, or that invisible waveform tapping you on your, you're going to get into those lucid dreams. And I hear it all the time. Those are the exact testimonials that are riddled through our websites of the grounding bags help you get more lucid dreams, getting that deeper store of sleep. Even if you get 3% better sleep, so if you're in the 80, 90 percentile, you improve 3% every night, that cumulative effect is insane, and that's what the grounding bags help facilitate with.
And the reason, if I were to just impart a little bit of my knowledge into this, the reason why we're dreaming or lucid dreaming is because that's the pineal gland producing melatonin, right? And the pineal gland, and melatonin's essentially what goes through it's the hormone that goes through our body and regenerates us through deep sleep. And we experience that as dreaming. If we actually look at the etymology of melatonin, it comes from the same root as melanin. And so melatonin, the tonin part of melatonin means tonic. And then the mela is dark. And the dark is essentially because the melanin is grabbing light. The melanin in our eyes, our hair, our skin is grabbing light. And so the melanin is basically, or the mela is like the light absorbed in the body through the dark tones of our skin and our eyes and our hair. And then the melatonin is essentially the melanin tonic. It's that light tonic that's going through the body. And our brain registers that as visual, because that's what light is to us. We get to see through it. And that's essentially what a dream is. And so we would, the more that we are dreaming, the more our body is adjusting itself to the frequency of the light.
Beautifully said.
You mentioned, yeah, I was just playing around with etymology of the words last night, and I was realizing that because I always thought that melanin and melatonin were related, and
there's
apparently
the connection.
They are.
There's
melatonin
the connection.
Is literally melanin tonic. You mentioned I forget the exact date. It was 1898 or 1889.
Yeah.
There was a cosmic or a solar flare, and then there was also like a man-made disruptance to the field, which resulted in the Spanish flu, right? It's like when radio waves got introduced. And then we could also even come up to present times. And when 5G was introduced, everybody got sick as well. And it's labeled as another type of flu or virus. And there's, what is it? Disease X that is already planned to come. And so when we have these like diseases every single year, is this something that people need to be shielding their body from mechanical, like breathing in particles? Or what is your viewpoint on like us being an electric body and our health dependent on our electromagnetic environment within ourself? Do you have anything to say with that, and like in regards to health and immunity?
Kind of what I just brushed over really quickly in the book, The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, he categorized the history of electricity and life. Every time in before 1889, before we introduced electricity into our homes, there were direct correlations with a lot of people getting sick with cosmic shifts, solar flares happening. After that, 1918, Spanish flu, World War II, and then the Hong Kong flu, it was radio waves being rolled out, radar, and then satellites as well. And then obviously 5G the last several years. The next, every season, so last summer, it's pretty crazy because I live in Laguna Beach, probably arguably one of the healthiest cities in anywhere because everyone's always outside. We're playing beach volleyball, we're in the ocean, we're in the sun, we're very outdoorsy, healthy crew of people. So many people got sick in June. I feel they ratchet up these frequencies. So when there's an increase in a frequency in a specific area, you're going to see people's bodies essentially just when they need to at the level they're capable. And so that's what I'm starting to see. Even the same as I cleared Newport Beach, is a Port Street community. It's a wealthy neighborhood. I had a client call me and say, Justin, come meet her at my house. And I'm like, oh, it's off the charts. There's like an Aaron Brockovich situation in there. And it's crazy. So I'm like, you guys get out of this house. We got to fix it. And so they got jumped on an airplane. Well, the kid had diabetes. So it was the first time, you know, 12-year-old, mom's wearing a smartwatch so her kid doesn't die on her, and checking glucose levels. Kid had one on. It's crazy how you use the technology, the thing that's hurting you, as a tool to notify you. But nonetheless, it helped me tell this story. When everyone turned on the Wi-Fi, they ended up flying to Fiji. They got on an airplane and they're like, we're going to get out of here and get grounded. The kid's glucose spiked 200 points and he got a bloody nose when everyone turned on the Wi-Fi. Mom sitting right next to him, didn't intake anything. Three-fourths of the way, it's a long flight from California to Fiji, three-fourths away, most of the people woke up, I would say probably half the people woke up, and The kid was still sleeping. Mom's awake. He gets a bloody nose again while he's sleeping, and his glucose spikes 100 points. So what that tells us is that every major health challenge has a resonance to it. And when you pollute it through our waveforms, the chemistry, our biofield is going to be disrupted, then the chemistry in our body is going to show it. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, is we're electromagnetic beings. And when you pollute our environment with non-native electromagnetic radiation, it's completely disruptive, and we're going to adapt when we need to at the level we're capable. There's no pathogenic virus that's flying around to kill you, period. None whatsoever. It's never, ever been, a virus has never been isolated and proven to be the cause of disease ever in the history of science. It's been a lie told by the medical and pharmaceutical industry specifically to sell drugs as health and to scare you into buying it and to treat causes, not symptoms. And so many amazing medical doctors have shared that information with me, from Tom Cowan to the list goes on and on. I mean, there's just endless doctors that are saying this. And Tom Cowan, COW, and wrote a book called The Contagion Myth, where he debunks the whole, you know, virus challenge. Now, I feel there's more frequencies. There are, you know, people get sick, and there's a connection through waveforms where I think subconsciously, you know, we get connected. So, but when you can keep your resonance field up, like a Shaolin monk who does breath work all the time, they're not affected by EMFs. Gary Lineham, working on his fascia, doing fascia maneuvers, doing human garage maneuvers, he's now, after a long time of doing it, not affected by EMFs. When you can have your body unpoisoned and unlearn the fears that are being instilled upon us in a lot of industries, and we're being poisoned, you can heal. And there's this cool thing, it's called physics, and why we know the grounding bags work is because you can convert a one-directional waveform into something that's unpolarized. That's physics. That's what nature is designed to facilitate healing us. She's converting these waveforms and recharging us. What we're doing at emfrocks.com and with our products, our grounding bags, we're bringing that resonance into your environment to create that coherence. It's super simple, but that's why I'm going deep with everybody, is to understand how we're designed and how intricate we are. And just in layman's terms, we're made on these scalar waves. They're unpolarized. You drop a pebble in a pond, the splash goes in every direction, not in a straight line. It's just, that's the fundamental difference of how we work. So let's look to our environment to create that coherence. And you could do it outside, externally, but then there's also that internal environment through, you know, having Purium and eating clean foods and really feeding your soul, that internal environment, it heals as well.
Yeah, it's about a harmony. And I'm glad that you brought up, we can strengthen our field because we are resonating at that 7.83 hertz per second. Like that is us. That's our natural resonance pattern. And as we do the practices in life to strengthen our field, then we can harmonize versus the war zone that we're essentially within electromagnetically. And you mentioned Bruce Lipton and talking about how the different organisms or cells in our body and the DNA in our body responds to the electromagnetic field or frequency more so than it is like a mechanical machine. And I think that's very important for people to realize, is that we are electromagnetic. Even our heart and our brain are sending out signals. It's not just peptides and hormones and things that we can touch. It's also like our blood flows through our body because of this heart, which is resonating a field. And the DNA are switched on and off, and the cells and the mitochondria are doing tasks based on the signals that it's receiving, not necessarily a physical component that's coming and saying, hey, you got a job to do. It's a signal environment, and everything's responding to the signal. And if we start disrupting that signal, the body's, like you're saying, it's being tapped on. Like, hey, go this direction, and then go this direction. It's just getting confused. And I really like the airplane. That's a perfect environment where there's no ability to, quote, ground to the earth, and to carry a bag with you is like it's basically the only option in a plane.
I got sick last year when I traveled. I just had the mini on me, and I got sick twice when I traveled. Then the same symptoms as COVID, like that whole like upper respiratory thing. And I'm like, and then I finally, second time, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I directly correlated to flying an environmental toxin, and my body adapted after. And so now I'm actually, the planes with the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth, and you know, 100 plus people in a plane with their wireless devices on, you add that math up, that's a massive stressor. So the mini didn't do the job. One, it probably isn't enough for me, because I'm super more in tune with energies. I read energy for a living. Like, I muscle test, I'm applied kinesiology guy. I feel that energy. I'm working to get as strong as Gary Lyham, where it doesn't affect me. It's a work in progress. So during that transformation and growth, now I travel with at least 3-4 grounding bags on my carry-on. And I disassemble it before I go through TSA so they don't hassle me. I get right through. I'm like, I take this bag out. I'm like, hey, this is of crystals. I have crystals. And then they see them, and then they let you go. And so I've learned how to create that coherence, and no matter what type of environment, while I'm building up my life force, so I could start to be that Shaolin monk and have that fascia hydrated, do the fascia maneuvers and the breath work, and get the silica, get the diatomaceous earth, get my system optimized, so I don't experience those, you know, the feeling of that resonance. And then I just subconsciously can convert that and know that they're broadcasting beneficial waves, not bad waves. And we can do that. So I don't want to scare people with this technology. We got to learn to work with it and have proximity protocols, but we can convert it, and we can do it by ourselves. And these products are great to help you with that.
Actually, one of the co-owners of Purium, David Sandoval, he likes to give a lot of, you know, what you can do besides purchasing our product, right? And one of the things is with the airplane, he recommends that people fly at nighttime, because like you're saying, the sun is also a major source of frequency that could be potentially damaging. That's why the earth has an atmosphere around it. It's to shield the strong solar winds that's coming off of the sun. And he recommends people, even though I hate flying at night, to doing that red eye because it disrupts my sleep. But his recommendation, if we want to get less EMF from, because the airplane's basically flying at an altitude where it's very exposed, he recommends people flying at nighttime as opposed to in the middle of the day.
Interesting.
For the reasons of EMF from the sun.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's his recommendation. But
yeah.
But I was going to ask you, like, so if you're working with people and you obviously have a simple solution that's worth more than it costs with the EMF rocks, but what else can people do? I mean, I can think of 10 off the top of my head, but I want to hear it from you. What else can people do to protect themselves against the negative implications of EMF within their home or within their life? What are your favorite go-tos?
Definitely, that's an interesting recommendation. But the first thing you do is you got to get grounded right when you get off the plane. I know you've talked a lot about that, is to get back in the resonance of that time zone that you're in. So just go, you know, lay down on the ground and do earthing, do grounding. So that's just 101. And the Clint Ober, we give him a lot of credit for his book Earthing and bringing this to the forefront for everyone to understand that there is science and there is research behind, you know, what we're talking about of these invisible waveforms and how our bodies really interplay with it. And so earthing, grounding, go barefoot, touch a tree, get outside in the sun, breathe in the minerals. As you know, I'm obsessed with getting in bodies of water, no matter how cold they are, especially the ocean. If that's too much for you, just go touch a tree. And if you're in a cold environment, just literally get outside and do that. Now, one deal I want to show you, and I know like you're the master at teaching people protocols. I want to teach you one of Dr. Darren Weissman's protocols for grounding. And so what we're going to do is just with your finger, point to the earth, and then over your heart, give the sign for I love you. So root yourself with your finger to the ground. And you could do this on an airplane. You could do this on a high-rise building. You could do this outside in nature, anywhere you are. Point to the earth. And my finger's already buzzing right now, just connecting to the earth. Infinite love and gratitude to your body being grounded by nature. Infinite love and gratitude. And picture yourself as a
infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude. You're a big, strong tree with deep roots. The more the wind blows, the deeper your roots get, and the more grounded and connected your body gets. Infinite love and gratitude. Now put that hand on your forehead. Infinite love and gratitude. Your mind connecting to the earth. Infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude. And now we could go up to the spirit. You could do all fingers connected raw like this, like they're all together. And just place it on here on the crown. And infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude. And you could say it. You can also just use the sign for I love you and put that on the top of your head. Infinite love and gratitude to your spirit. So we just did body, mind, and spirit, grounding, connecting to the earth. Infinite love and gratitude. And you should feel a little release there.
Right. And I definitely could feel my being going through my finger into the earth, and this imagination, right? It's almost like the remote control to the spiritual or non-physical realm. And just like anything, like we had to learn how to walk, we had to learn how to ride a bike, and a lot of this skill set of maneuvering within these other realms takes practice. So I just want to say, you said it so clearly and confidently. If people are watching this and feel like they can't connect or aren't connecting, it does, like the moment we wanted to ride a bike, we didn't just snap our fingers and get on the bike and ride it. It does take practice and repetition. So in my phone, I was looking, I was trying to find something, and I came across a picture I took in 2007 or 8. And I moved to California in 2006 from Michigan, and I took a picture of the sky, and I was taking a picture of the chemtrails in like 2007 or 2008, because in Michigan, at least at that time, I didn't remember planes making those marks in the skies. And I moved here, and the skies were not as bad as they are now. I mean, I've seen them evolve into like literally creating clouds and storms now. But What's your take? Do you feel that there's something happening to block out the light? Or what's your current take? I know this is evolving for us all, but what's your take on what's happening up in our skies? Well, I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah, and there is a lot going up there, and unfortunately, people haven't really noticed it for my whole lifetime. I saw the trails when I was younger, and I saw the, you know, basically they're like, oh, they're condensation trails. I'm like, well, that plane makes it, but that doesn't. Why is that? Right. And so when I was little, it didn't make sense to me. And I noticed it early on. I'm in my 50s now. So this isn't anything new. They're called chemical trails or aerosol spraying with barium, strontium, aluminum. What they're basically doing is they're claiming it's for climate, or making it rain. And right now it's raining in Southern California. Man, these planes are just going nonstop. They're called cloud seeding. But what they're doing is they're dehydrating us and our planet through the barium in the aerosol spraying. And now they're adding mRNA into it. So there's particles that are attaching onto other things. So I do lots of muscle testing. I have the doctors that we sell our products through are some of the most incredible wizards at muscle testing. They have all the vials for all the things, and they're showing particles that are showing up on top of other stuff. And so they're treating it through Rife frequencies, through pairing that frequency with the particle that's attached to it. The reason these things are getting attached is through our air. They're polluting our air from above. And the frequencies of the Wi-Fi are just charging that stuff. So when you have more heavy metals in your system, you become more of an antenna, and they're able to do more controlling, psyops with you and control populations through frequencies as well, especially the more polluted your system is. So there's a lot going on up in the sky. You're not supposed to see air, right? Unless you're in LA and it's all polluted. Yeah, but so we don't think of these environmental stressors like, oh, they see a stream. They're like, oh, you think it's a cloud, but clouds aren't in straight lines. There's an aerosol spraying. And yeah, the same as the millimeter waves, like they're affecting us in our environment. You don't see them, but we can hear them underwater. We can hear those dolphins. We can hear those whales. And when there's an electric foil board, it sounds like a radio station on static turned all the way up. That's what we can hear. We don't see it on air, but our bodies feel it. And we feel these non-native waveforms as well. There's some people that can hear it, that bandwidth. I think Sherry Edwards, I think. And most humans don't hear it. We feel it. If you're ever in your home and your home goes and your electricity goes off and you're in a quiet place, you'll hear the resonance. You'll hear the vibration go zzzz to nothing. And that's when you know that you're like, man, it's really loud when this electricity's on. So there's a lot going on that our bodies feel. One other note is Ibrahim Karim. Do you study much on biogeometry? I forgot.
No.
No. Okay. So Ibrahim Karim is a founder of biogeometry, and he'll say that our planet, if there's any change in temperatures, it's from dehydration from the radiation that's being emitted. And so I'm coupling it with Gary Lineham's, barium that's dehydrating us and our planet. So the combination between the two are the huge stressor in the air in our environment.
Wilhelm Reich also had similar theories with orgone, the orgone energy. If everyone's familiar with orgonite, it comes from orgone energy, and orgone comes from orgasm, which is essentially like the natural bliss state of the universe. And essentially he said that in areas with low orgone, it's going to be areas like the desert, areas that are very arid and dehydrated because there's less of the positive orgonite, orgone energy in those areas, which is healing frequency. Thank you for explaining that. Yeah. You were not supposed to see air. I've noticed in LA that the last few years, I see the trails and then I watch them drop over the next few days. And then smog, I know the difference. Smog is like a yellowish haze. If you're up in the mountains, you can see the smog. But this is like a white fog. It looks like fog. It looks like clouds just rolled in from the ocean and now the whole area is foggy. But it's 90 degrees. There's no fog. It's just this chemical haze. And it's a war. I mean, we're essentially the targets of whatever that is. And it's our responsibility to make ourselves as resilient to whatever's happening around us at all times. And that's why stuff like this is interesting. And that's, you know, you're helping a lot of people solve one of the issues that we have to deal with nowadays.
Yeah. And then
I want to go back here,
real quick. I got on a tangent, but I forgot to mention the whole blocking of the sun. And you talked about the light being disrupted as well.
Right.
So I got off on the chemtrails and the dehydration, but yeah, you're blocking light. Bill Gates is blocking the sun. You block light, you block all life. I mean, there's the book Deep is, you know, talks about the depths of the water, and 90%+ of the ocean life lives in the photon state where you can have light living in that region. And that's, you know, we get over 70% of our oxygen from the kelp bed. So this is just crazy stuff to think that light is bad. And one story, I had a friend and lives in my neighborhood, and we were out playing beach volleyball, and he's wearing long sleeve and this and that. He's loading up a sunscreen, and he's like, oh man, he's like, this sun is just killing me. I'm like, wait, let's back this up. All right. And he's a big Tesla guy, and he's had 4 Teslas in the last, you know, 10 years and a huge stockholder of it. And I said, so tell me your history. I said, so you're saying the sun gave you skin cancer? He's like, yeah, I just had it cut out of me. The sun is the bad. It's bad. I said, really? I said, so did you grow up putting sunscreen on with a bunch of chemicals? And he's like, yeah, I just loaded up with chemicals. I'm like, okay, did you ever have, you know, margarine or any synthetics that might create a pocket underneath your skin? Yeah, I used to eat that stuff. Have you driven a Tesla for over 10 years? Like, are you sitting on a massive battery for over 10 years? Yes. Okay, but it's the sun's fault that you have, you know, skin cancer. So, and those are just 3 little examples. Like, so again, we got to unlearn this stuff. The light is not bad. I talked about it in a book. There's the use to do healing, you know, through light therapy. We still have red light therapy now. I treat concussions through the light. You guys, our bodies communicate with light. We're a holograph of light. If we dim that light from above, we're dimming it inside us. It's not a recipe for success. So everything Bill Gates touches, you should stay away from, and create the intention that that's going to go away and that we're going to be able to heal and not allow it to happen. Like, you can't block the sun. That's just not okay. And that mentality is satanic, and it's the worst thing ever. You got to connect to God, stay grounded by nature, bring in the light, because we are light beings, and we have to stop these madmen from doing stuff that, you know, they can think they can do because they have a lot of money. It's not okay.
It's literally the movie The Matrix. I mean, they blocked the sunlight, and then people are in pods that they're just extracting energy from. And that's what's going on now. They're blocking our natural reservoirs of power. They're putting us on the couch, just being plugged into the matrix, watching TV, watching our devices, and they're just extracting our life force from us. And we can choose out of that. Right, that's what that whole movie and story was about. We are Neo, you know, we're the chosen one of our own life, of our own destiny. There's a lot there, and this isn't for us to promote the fear, but like you said, we need to choose a different way. if we're like, we came here for this, obviously it's happening within our life and it's our responsibility to create something that is different, something that serves us and everybody around us in a better way. And you're doing that. So I want to go back to other tips. You know, what do you tell your best friends, like this gentleman you're talking to, like what else can they do within their home, within their environment to harmonize themselves, you know, within the conveniences of electrical devices? We all have them. And we're on computers and phones right now, right, you know, watching this or recording this. We're using this stuff. There's a big, huge, giant light right in front of my face shining on me. So what things do you tell your friends is like the top three things that people do within their home?
Get grounded by nature. Okay. Yeah, because that's your nature. So number one, just get outside more than ever. Touch a tree, hug a tree, climb a rock, go barefoot, lay down, have a picnic outside, jump into bodies of water. Super stuff. But within their home, it's really simple. Create that resonance of outside inside your home. So all wireless smart devices, they're on a timer. So they go off at night when you're sleeping. It's $9 to buy a timer at the hardware store. Buy one, plug it in, plug that, you know, smart device into it. All the electricity goes off. I've gone to the extent we have a timer on our electrical panel. So all the electricity in our bedrooms goes off at night. So at least for six, whatever plus hours, we're in a low and slow environment where there's no non-native vibration. And Dr. Martin Paul talks about the vibration of even milligauss, which is a 50 to 60 hertz or wave per second, on up to the wireless. It's the vibration that affects the voltage-gated calcium channels. Those are four big words for, that's the mitochondria function. That's the gateway for your cellular energy is disrupted just from low-level electricity. So get that resonance as low and slow as you can to the resonance of the earth. So Wi-Fi's off, smart meters converted to analog. The smart meter on my house is converted to an analog. So I don't have basically essentially a cell tower that these Wi-Fi, that these smart meters act like. And if you want to learn more about the smart meter, check out Josh Del Sol's documentary movie called Take Back Your Power. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, you'll love it.
Take Back Your Power.
Take Back Your Power. Check it out. Josh Del Sol made it. And you can get online. I think it's free to watch. But just, he foresaw everything happening. It was like 15 years ago. So convert those. It's a one-time $75 fee and then $10 a month. It's a no-brainer to get that basically cell tower off your house, which is really a smart meter. I've seen kids grind their teeth down to nothing with their head of their bed on the other side of them. I've seen kids have basically seizures from have two smart meters on the other side of their bed, room wall. So know where your beds are faced in proximity to stressors, whether it's on the outside of your house or inside your house. Get a Stetzer electric meter to meter the stuff. You can plug it in the wall. Stetzer, S-T-E-T-Z-E-R, electric.com, about $140 or so. That reads the amps to volts, any static in the line. Super simple stuff. Plug it in the wall. It should be 100 below for a safe home. Most homes are 350 and below. Any home with solar is going to be over 1,000. They haven't figured out, I'm sorry guys, they haven't figured out how to ground solar out. Because again, it's just like an electric car. They're storing energy in a battery and giving you the usage that you're requesting is going to cause static, just like a dim switch on a light. So it's in a car, it's 18% lower testosterone for guys and girls driving electric cars. In the home, we can plug in the Stetzer meter and it's going to be three, four times or more higher than safe recommended levels of dirty electricity. hardwire. It's faster, safer, it's more reliable, minimal health challenges. Remember, electricity travels not just inside the wires, but on the outside of wires. So if your bed's touching the wall, it's charged to the level of the outlet. If your nightstand has a light that the cord's touching your bed's charged to the level of the outlet. Create that proximity protocols. Never have a phone next to your head. We're doing this because we're wanting to communicate the message, and I have the grounding bags here, and we're doing our grounding protocols to recharge us as well. But never put a phone up next to your head. It's absorption rating. And keep the, we use Faraday bags, and you put the Faraday bag literally, you know, you put your phone in, it protects you from the phone, it protects the life of the battery from the data harvesting. But I do not recommend having laptops over your reproductive organs. One of the five bigs, cancer, suicide, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, cardiovascular disease, are directly correlated with EMFs. So is the sixth one, which is infertility. And it's because these industries are marketing a battery and a router over your reproductive organs as a laptop. Oh, it's literally raw. It's one of the most evil, sinister, craziest concepts that you could ever have. So put a Faraday bag, if you're gonna do it, put a Faraday bag and direct the frequencies away, and then have a grounding bag on the bed or desk or whatever to create a coherence. So there's ways to counteract with this stuff, but we just start to understand it. And probably the best one, lastly, grab a meter. I have an acoustimeter. It's a one-directional wireless meter. And when my daughter was younger, I said, hey, this thing's not some quiet cell phone. This thing is a weapon. And it's not silent. And it's not in your best interest. And the second I showed her that, a meter started screaming and metered out when I pointed at her phone when it was just silent and quiet and sitting there. And then I point the meter away and the meter goes to nothing. Point it back, it starts screaming and meters out again. I'm like, honey, these are the vibration and that this is emitting that our bodies hear that most humans don't hear. It's radiation, it's a different waveform. It's gonna age you quicker and mess with your cognitive function and slow you down. It's not an enhancer. When you're not using this thing, get it away from your body and shut it off. Until I pointed that meter and showed her what it sounded like, she didn't really believe me. So these are some really ideas and steps that you guys can do to create some great proximity protocols between us and technology, but still utilize it, and because we want to use it, not let it use us.
Exactly. Those are great. Those great tips. Definitely keep that phone out of your pocket.
Oh,
I always carry a bag, which I had a little issue with, but, you know, because now I'm carrying around like a little purse thing that has like EMF protection in it, but whatever.
Well, I do. Well, real quick, I have the mini in my pocket and I put the phone on the outside of it.
Yeah.
And so remember, on the phone, the top part of the phone is where the antenna is. So you don't want to point it at somebody or yourself. So you point it away. But whenever my phone's in my pocket, it's on the airplane mode most of the time. And then if it's not, at least I have a protection, a layer of protection between it and my body. So I'm not losing any resilience Dave Asprey said there was 15 to 18 lower bone density in his femur because he had his phone in his right pocket all these years. Like, those are studies that guys have done. I'm not losing that bone density because of that buffer and that protection. So,
Yeah. All right. So where can people find you? Like, where are the channels? I know you have many of them.
Is where you find our grounding bags, minis, and Faraday bags. And we have two different sizes of the Faraday bags. And then athleticism.com, spelled athletic, ism.com. For those of you who can't spell, Very Well is where you find all of our curated health products. And so we have some incredible stuff on there, from energy bites to Y-Clay toothpaste. We have a clean toothpaste. Did you ever use our toothpaste yet?
I did, yeah. It's nice. It's got a
dirt,
nice feeling.
Baby.
It's like I want to say it's like bubbly, but it's not bubbly. It feels like carbonated water in the form of a toothpaste.
Oh.
To me. But yeah, it's dirt. It's clay, right?
It's clay. So bentonite clay is 8 to 30% pure montmorillonite. So bentonite clay, 8 to 30% pure montmorillonite. Ours is pink montmorillonite. That's 85% pure, over 85% pure montmorillonite. So we have the purest form of dirt clay you could have that has silica and a ton of other minerals. And what our teeth want, it cleans them. Your teeth felt like you just went to the dentist and got them cleaned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It has like a refreshing feeling.
Yeah. You're super clean. Like, it literally cleans all the junk off them, but it will help rebuild the enamel because you're remineralizing it. And then you could swallow it because it's bentonite clay, but at a pure form. So it's a great chelator and binder. So, and then it has a spearmint that doesn't kill the enamel like peppermint does. And I learned that from Dr. Jerry Curtola, who has Revitans, one of my other favorite toothpastes that we sell. It's his brand. So I mix and match. I go between the two of ours, white clay toothpaste, and then his. And I love it, man. My teeth, I used to have a lot of pain at the bottom of certain, or the gum areas, like excruciating pain, because I was just, my enamel was going, and it's a lot of from the peppermint. The peppermint will kill the enamel. So spearmint doesn't. So yeah, I love that toothpaste as well.
Hmm. So that's one thing that I notice is that I'm using like super natural toothpaste. And the toothpaste we regularly use, I can feel like up here in the gums, you know, cause I didn't see a dentist for like 10 years when I first moved to, maybe even 15 years when I first moved to California. It wasn't until recently that I could go get some things checked out. But when I brush my teeth with natural toothpaste, there's like a little bit of a stinging, like a pain up here. But then with your toothpaste, I noticed there's like no pain, but I didn't know why. I think the other stuff does have peppermint in there.
Yeah.
Cause that's just like the normal thing that all.
Yeah. You've lost your enamel.
And I didn't know it. Yeah. Okay. Great.
So, and I have that same thing, but it's like way worse than you had. So, the toothpaste will really help. And just like we want to have dynamic, diverse intake, having a couple different types of toothpaste is great for your gut, or not just your gut biome, but your mouth biome.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you also have that MCT oil.
Oh, yeah.
Which tastes super clean as well.
It's the purest MCT oil out there. And so what we're doing is we extracted it without all the chemicals in it. And it's from palm kernel, not a coconut. So it's actually, I feel it's more bioavailable. I think you get unbelievable results going to ketosis. You can not as hungry. You don't have to. You can have that proper window of eating time because your body's burning fat as fuel, not sugar. So you're not spiking and crashing your glucose levels. So it's sustained. It's like burning a fire with a log versus paper. And the big thing we were talking about with the airplanes is EMFs mess with your glucose levels, as we saw with a diabetes client. So when you can normalize your glucose levels and have buffers, insulin buffers like MCT oil, you're not going to be as affected on that as well. But MCTs are great for teeth and gums. You could pull it for less than a minute and then swallow it. I like that because it's your saliva absorbs it. You're not pulling all the crap out of the teeth, but you're just getting enough to where it just to cleanse it and swallow it. And it's great for eyes, teeth and gums, great for brain health. So for endurance athletes, I rub it on the skin. So if I do a long ocean swim, I was telling you, we swim the buoys in our cove. So I'll do mile plus swims and I'll get chafing under my armpit. And so I'll put it on my armpit. So I'll have energy. I'll be able to just hammer it out because I'm getting fuel without my stomach, you know, weighing me down.
Cool, cool. Athleticism.com. There's lots of cool stuff there. You also have those bands too, right? What are those? The, like that bright green.
The jump band. Did you bust that out yet?
I didn't. I haven't yet.
Okay. So
I wasn't really sure. I thought I would find the directions in this book, but there wasn't really much about it in there. So I haven't opened it yet.
It's kind of just user-friendly, self-explanatory, where the picture tells the story is get your wife and one other person, and they'll stand on equal sides about 8 feet apart. And what you do is you wrap the circular band, it's called a jump band, in between their ankles, like at their lower leg. And it creates two parallel lines coming out of it. And then you do plyometric drills over those lines. And then as you get more comfortable jumping in and out and on the bands, you raise it up their legs. And you could use two chairs. So if you're an athlete competing and traveling and want to get your bounce on, we have a lot of our athletes travel with the bands and they'll do their plyometric training. Because if you step on the it's soft elastic, it won't hurt you. So it's a really smart way to do plyometric training, but the rhythms, the drills, you can do any sequence, whatever you can dream up is what you can do. One-legged stuff, you can cross them. It's the take off the old Chinese jump rope where you're just doing these interplays and crossing the bands and then going in and out and over them and moving forwards and backwards and sideways through that. So it's, to me, it's one of my favorite plyometric workouts, and it's super fun for three people or four people. You bounce in and just switch and rotate to do. And so if you have a group and you just get three with one band, so you can have four bands and work 12 people out with a crazy workout, and they'll start to raise the bar. They'll literally raise the height of the jump band on their own. And it's fun to see that progression and how people can get creative with their training.
And if anyone out there is a personal trainer or a coach or an athlete, this book, Athleticism, which I'll have links for all this stuff too in the show notes if you want to just go down there. But this book has a lot of amazing drills, warm-up drills. When I used to teach classes, when I owned gyms, the warm-up was basically everything for me. People come for the actual, like, the workout that we were doing, but the warm-up is where I would spend all of my focus and energy, because warming up the body, getting it into the correct movement patterns, that's what's most important for people. That's what's going to carry them through for the rest of the day, where they're walking upstairs and everything. We want their feet, their legs, their posture operating effectively. And that was what was most important for me before they went into an intense CrossFit workout. And it was my favorite part. That's basically all I did. I basically just did warm-ups for my entire career and somehow did very, very well.
No, that's awesome.
In the sport.
That makes so much sense. And when I was playing basketball, my warm-up routine was a 45-minute workout, basically. And before I'd step on the court and play 2 hours of high-intensity basketball, and where, you know, I'm 6'2", about 185, and I was balling with guys that were way bigger and faster and had played their whole life. And, you know, I was in my 20s to 40s when I was playing with them. But when I did the warm-up, I couldn't miss, and they couldn't move me, no matter how big they were, period. And when I didn't do it, I shouldn't have been out in the court. And so I literally got in the habit, mm-hmm. same as you, Raw, every time before I would play, it was mandatory. So we'd have 7 o'clock games in the morning. I would be in the gym doing my 45-minute warm-up and then go to play. And all these guys would just like reach down, touch their toes, you know, bend over, and then let's go play. And then they would be dropping like flies, like all the time. So it's so, so important. But the cool thing is, too, is you were finding that rhythm for your body that got you to perform at the level that, you know, you wanted. And that's what a proper warm-up will do, is get you in that rhythm.
So it's easier to connect to flow once you get there. All right, Justin, I think we'll wrap it up there. Did you have anything else to add before we go away?
Sure, because that's your nature.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it was super awesome to talk to you, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed this. Please go check him out. His Instagram is also EMF Rocks on IG as well. All right, Justin, take care.